Chapter 3. It was May, and in the lanes you couldn't move for folk going on about how overjoyed they were to see the blossoms and the sunshine and the birds and the bees and so on. The lambs were growing fat on blossoms. Mother did all our beds with turpentine and salt to get rid of the bugs. The days got longer and the night frost stopped, and small brown birds bathed themselves in the dust pockets in the lane where the puddles used to be. A wren started to build its nest under the eaves of the shed, and as usual, the cat sat and watched, waiting to kill the fledglings just as soon as they hatched. And, as usual, Minnie and Charlie moaned and cried about it and said it wasn't fair and why didn't God stop it?
Maybe God has better things to do, our father said.
Bees drifted over the garden, and hollyhocks unfurled their hairy buds and stood in their lemon and salmon rows. Slowly, our mother seemed to wake up and start eating and thinking and talking again. She took the baby into the garden and laid him on a piece of sacking under the apple tree, where he kicked and cooed and watched the light flicker around in the leaves. She sat and watched him, and I saw our father watching her very hard, careful always to glance away the moment she saw his eyes were on her. Honey found a dead rat lying by the tap in the orchard, its pale, hairless feet curled and flies crawling over its face, and we told her not to touch it, and she didn't. The air was full of mown grass and the ripe, baked scent of the wallflowers that grew by the back door. One day, Jazzy's freckles weren't there, and the next day, they were, as if someone had crept up in the night with a paintbrush and done them while she slept. Each warm morning, the narkits hung their birdcage outside so the parrot could bask and preen in the warmth of the sun. Except that this year, old Mrs. Narkit, who had died at Christmas, wasn't around to see it.